Oh my God, hi. It's me, Dave Holmes. Welcome to Troubled Waters, the show that treats popular culture as the most important kind of culture because it's the culture most of us feel like we are more right about than anyone else. And we're all right about that. Now, to that end, Troubled Waters pits a pair of entertainers against one another in a pop culture battle to the ego death. To win this battle, each guest will be called upon to use their smarts, their skills, their comebacks that they've been saving in a little tiny moleskin notebook to earn the coveted Troubled Waters title Pundit Emeritus, which will automatically give their opinion on the impending showdown between Disney's legal team and the state of Florida more weight than a civilian's. You are listening to Troubled Waters. Let's meet our guests. Our first contestant is a comedian whose debut album, Happening in My Head, is out now. It's Luke Moniz. Hello, Luke.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for being here. You are in Los Angeles, California. Whereabouts?
I'm in West Hollywood.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
Beautiful Western Hollywood. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right near the Beverly Center, America's crown jewel.
Ooh. Ooh, not to brag, but you're right near the Beverly Center. How exciting.
Yes.
Haven't been in there in ages. It's like constantly under renovation. Have you been in? Have you looked around?
Have I been in? I'm in all the time. No, I went to Macy's with I had a friend visiting and he had to buy a shirt. And so we went to Macy's and we found the shirt he was looking for. And it's very strange in that Beverly Center. There's a lot of unused commercial real estate going on in there. A floor here and there. Just there's nothing for what seems like miles. But then then all of a sudden you roll up on a H&M or something like that. So yeah. It's a real microcosm time of America.
It Absolutely. Sure is. It's an interesting time for the American mall. Remember when you would just like spend a whole night in a mall?
Oh, like, I mean, it was going my whole childhood.
Store to store, of course. So exciting. Yeah, the mall that we used to hang out in on our Friday nights in like eighth grade is now, it's like, yeah, there's one anchor store and then there's like something that sells posters that say success and there's a picture of an eagle and then there's knife sharpening and a piercing kiosk and that's it.
It's pretty sad vibes in there.
It's real sad vibes.
It's not a good time walking through that thing. I mean, I cannot describe to you how few people there are in the Beverly Center at any given time.
Mm-hmm. I actually really want to go now. That's you've changed me.
Yeah, you should do a remote level. Episode.
Now I got to go. Yeah, maybe we'll do a little field trip episode in the Beverly Center, a late capitalism, troubled waters.
That's just right. I love
Why
it.
Not? Why not? I Welcome, Luke. Thank our second you. Contestant hosts Tech News Daily with our friend Tom Merritt. It's Sarah Lane. Hello, Sarah.
Hello. Hello. Good to be here. I just want to mention the last time I was in the Beverly Center, it was under so much construction. I was lost, like in a tunnel.
Yeah.
It was upsetting. I couldn't even like find a store to go into.
Yeah.
It was a couple of years ago, confusing. So it doesn't sound like it's gotten a lot better since.
It really has not. Now I'm really dying to go and see it.
Beverly Center has seen better days, sounds like. Mm-hmm. I went to the downtown Cleveland Mall last summer.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I was in town for a wedding. Downtown Cleveland is not super huge. You know, Cleveland area is, but the downtown area is, there's just kind of the mall. That was the weirdest mall I've ever seen. It was mostly just shut down. There were like some jewelry stores.
Yeah.
Where if you want to buy like really expensive gold jewelry, some kiosks, and that's kind of it. It was truly bizarre, but it kind of in a fun way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's weird.
Like an LSD sort of a vibe. Like, why? Sure. What is this?
By the way, have either of you gone down the Dead Malls rabbit hole on YouTube?
Yeah,
that's fun. Right.
Where they play some music and just kind of, you know, it's sort of like a strange apocalyptic video game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But you can't win. You just sit.
No, you just observe.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. America loses.
America loses. Sarah, you're in the Sonoma Valley. Whereabouts?
I am. I'm in Sonoma County, California. For anybody who's not familiar, it's about an hour north of San Francisco. And I'm in West County because, you know, when you live in Sonoma County, you have to make sure people know what part of the county you're in. So I'm over kind of on the ocean side.
I see. Okay. That's exciting. And it's odd that you're not at a wine tasting right now. I would be. I don't care if it's 10.
I wish I were. No, this is actually more fun. Maybe I'll go later this afternoon.
Okay, good. I mean, you definitely should. Okay, you have met our players, listener, and it is now time to see who has the better grasp of what really matters this week, pop culturally speaking. So players, if you're ready, you will each be given a chance to tell me what you think is the most important and tragically overlooked story or person or event or whatever of the last week or two. Luke, we'll start with you.
Well, Dave, if you are truly a pop culture expert, then you would know that the at a state dinner, the South Korean president himself serenaded Joe Biden and a room full of dignitaries with "American Pie" by Don McLean.
Did he sing the whole thing? Because that's a long song.
That's a commitment.
Oh, he sang the whole thing, and wow. And pretty amazing.
I didn't know that at all.
Yes, South Korean President Yoon.
Why?
Well, he was trying to. He was marking the 70th anniversary of the U.S. and South Korea's alliance, and he surprised Joe Biden with what he revealed was his favorite song growing up in school, and his favorite karaoke song. And then Biden said, "Well, how about you sing it?" And so I think maybe there was a little bit of pre-preparedness You know, a little bit, and got a standing ovation from everybody in the room, including Angelina Jolie. So Angelina stood up and really enjoyed it. Oh, what? Yeah. She's at every state dinner.
She's a dignitary.
Sure.
Oh, something.
God. Wow. Wow. No, I had no idea that happened. Wow.
I did see that on TMZ, I believe, this morning. You know, but Luke beat me to it.
Ooh. Holy cow.
Yeah.
When I hear that someone's favorite song is American Pie, what I hear is I have not heard a second song ever in my life. You know what I mean? It's like that. Those are the people who just like the radio's on and they don't know what's playing and they don't care. And it's, there's no CDs or vinyl in the home.
Well, you know, you say that, but that very sentence may threaten our relations with South Korea. I mean, you may
really
have just started a proxy war over here.
I really should watch my mouth. I forget about the geopolitical importance of Troubled Waters. And I really
thank you. Thank you.
American Pie is one of those songs where someone starts it at the karaoke bar. You're like, okay, I got some time. Slightly better than Bohemian Rhapsody, which is also one of those where you're like, really? You really want to hog the mic for a while, don't you?
Oh,
okay,
God.
We all have 10 minutes to get a drink.
Fucking crazy. Drives me crazy. Yeah, and good old boys drinking whiskey and rye. It's like, so they're drinking whiskey and whiskey? Like,
yeah.
Those are two different, that's just two, anyway, drives me.
Don was not thinking
the bourbon
clearly.
People would be like, well, actually, Dave, there's a very significant difference between lots of that stuff.
But you wouldn't have them together. You wouldn't be like, give me a whiskey and bourbon, right?
Right, of course.
Yeah. I'd like a whiskey and a scotch.
Yes. Mix them up together.
Maybe the song is about a good old boys drinking a flight of whiskey. You know that?
Oh
little,
yeah, that could be at a whiskey. Good old boys at a whiskey tasting.
Yeah, it's that kind of song. You know,
an arm guarder.
Yeah. Nothing an American loves better than a flight.
That's right,
Sarah.
Yes.
What you got?
Well, I don't know how well aware y'all are of the phenomenon of internet pets that are famous on the internet. My own dog is he's working up his Instagram followers, but you know he's pretty active. You know, letting people know what he's doing and what his thoughts are. Mm-hmm. I also have a cat who's more kind of in the shadows, but internet famous cats. Of which there are many, have been around for a long time. So I thought For anybody who didn't really know the latest in technology, because tech news is kind of my beat, right? Mm-hmm. You might not know that the company Tile has launched a new cat tracking tag that goes around their neck, just attaches to their collar like a little air tag, like a piece of luggage, mm-hmm. but for your cat. It's $40, 3-year battery life, and very weirdly, only has a 250-foot range, so you lose your cat, you don't want it to go too far or else it's gone. But maybe you have a big old mansion and you're like, what room is my cat in? This is possibly the gadget for you.
Wow. Huh. What a useless gadget.
Yeah. Come on. I thought you'd love it.
Fundamentally useless gadget.
250.
That's the weird thing. Okay. So at first I was like, this is useless. However, I live in a pretty small apartment. It's very much a cabin in the woods. That's exactly where I live. And so if my cat were to go, I don't know, slip out the front door and hang out under the porch, it's 250 feet from any one place in my house. So I guess I could find him.
Yeah.
Till he runs into the street, and then it's curtains.
I mean, you could also tie a little tiny jingly bell to its regular $3 collar, and that would be the same thing. Right?
Or attach an air tag. And that way, if my cat gets on a plane and ends up in Omaha, I can track it.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Useless. Absolutely useless.
But something you hadn't heard of.
Something I definitely
had
not.
Because I understood the assignment.
Definitely. Yeah. I had not heard of that. Now, we have an outdoor cat. We have a feral cat who we've sort of, you know, who we feed and who we, you know, kind of cuddle with outside. She can't come in and doesn't even really seem to want to. But what I know about her is that she is like, she'll find her way back home. She goes on some adventures when, you know, when we're all sleeping or whatever, but she finds her way back. My dog's an idiot. Like my dog, if he loses sight of me for 2 seconds, he forgets that I exist. And if he got lost, he'd never find his way home. But a cat will take care of him or herself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cat tracking versus American pie. Pie versus cat.
Mm.
Pie versus cat. Those are your buzzing words.
Two things I love very much.
Two very, very basic concepts. Pie.
That's right.
Versus cat. Those are your buzzing words. Keep them ready. As we move forward, let's kick it off with a round that we are calling the Pedro Pascal Limerick Round, because it's limericks about Pedro Pascal. Now, Pedro is having a real moment. The absolute best name that I have heard for him comes from Phoebe Robinson, who calls him Chilean Cibe. If you're not following Dope Queen Phoebs on Instagram and her absolutely pornographic captions about Pedro Pascal, that is the best thing going right now. Anyway, Pedro's having a real moment. He's in The Mandalorian. He is in The Last of Us. He is he's really kind of hit the peak of relevance in the world by achieving something that very few have been able to achieve, and that is being profiled by me in Esquire magazine. It's a big moment for Pedro Pascal, but it's been a long time coming. This overnight success was 30 years in the making. So in this round, I'm going to test your knowledge of his on-screen resume by giving you clues in the form of limericks, because we love to rhyme. When I finish the limerick, buzz in with your buzzing words, which again are pie and cat. Give me the movie or TV show that I'm looking for. Okay, here we go. Limerick time. This show can easily boast of celebrities it's had the most. The sketches are long. Saturdays when it's on. Not long ago, Pedro was host.
Cat.
Yes.
That would be Saturday Night Live.
It sure would be Saturday Night Live. Delightful. Came out in what I can only call a blouse and gave a lovely monologue on that show. I thought he did a great job. I thought he did a terrific job. Number two, a hit series on HBO had a nice role for Pedro. Things didn't end well for Oberyn Martell or for the fans of the show.
Cat.
Pie. Yes.
Cat.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is correct.
Sorry, Luke.
Did you think you would just both buzz in and I would just decide who I wanted to call on? And so you have to be first. You got to buzz in first. That is the
But you have to finish the limerick.
Yeah, I'm not. I knew it before you finished, but the limerick itself is fun.
Yeah.
So you have to wait till you're done, right?
It is
you gotta
fun.
Wait until I'm done. You got to wait until I'm done. Listen, these were written. We want to give our writers the respect that they are due. Okay, number three. A show about people who made it big in the cocaine trade. The putative star, Pablo Escobar, and Pedro's in the DEA.
Pie.
Yes.
Luke. Narcos.
Narcos is correct. Pedro played Javier Pena, a DEA agent who was also a consultant on the show. That's nice. Having Pedro Pascal play you. That's got to be flattering.
Wow, extremely.
I'd like him to play me.
Extremely flattering. Extremely flattering. I mean, seriously, and he's got the range. Okay, number four. Meta commentary is the rage when Nicolas Cage plays Nick Cage. Pedro shows flair as a billionaire who's paying Nick Cage a big wage.
Pie.
Yes.
The unbearable lightness of fame?
Oh, you're so... You know, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. It's the unbearable weight of massive talent.
Oh, come on.
It was close enough. Played Javi Gutierrez. Okay. Well, it came out a couple years ago, and it was a lot of fun. Okay. This cop show ran on NBC for 12 years from 1993. Pedro's in one ep as a tentative step to the star we knew he'd grow to be.
Cat.
Yes. Wait, Sarah.
NYPD Blue.
Yes. And by the way, that was on ABC. So good on you for seeing through our writer's error.
You can't trick the cat.
Okay. Can't trick the cat. Cannot trick a cat. Can't trick a cat.
No, nope, or you'll be sorry.
Mm-hmm. For a brief moment, he can be seen in a show about ghoul-fighting teens. Tales of the showrunner have been quite a bummer, and the show's lost a lot of its sheen.
Cat.
Yes, Sarah?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Buffy the VS. That is correct. He was in a season 4 episode. He played a character named Eddie.
How about that, Pedro?
There you go. Pedro Pascal. A man with many layers. A man with real boundaries, as I learned. Profiling him for Esquire magazine, it is on stands now. And by the way, the pictures that ran alongside it, I could have written one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish from Dr. Seuss, and nobody would have noticed. My words are so utterly eclipsed by the thirsty, parched fucking pictures in that thing that have gone round the world. And I'm happy to be overshadowed. Anyway, after that round, Sarah's got 4, Luke's got 2, but we're just getting started. It's now time for a round we are calling Arbitrary March. Now, one of our team stumbled upon an Arby's branded dice set. Arby's came out with a set of dice. Perfect for when you're playing Dungeons and Dragons and sandwiches. It has led us down a little bit of a rabbit hole with some of the strangest corporate branded merch available. So I'm going to drag you down that rabbit hole, and we'll get into it together. We will experience late capitalism together as though we were in a dead mall. I'll give you a series of examples of corporate merch. You buzz in and tell me whether it's real or whether we made it up. If it's real, say merch. If it does not exist at all, say blurch. Blurch! You know, the way that you would say if something disgusting were in front of you. Blurch!
Blurch!
Don't do it like that because that's really gross.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Okay, number one. We'll start with another Arby's piece of merch. The Curly Fry Golf Head Cover. It is a cover that makes the head of your golf club look like a pack of curly fries.
Pie.
Cat.
Ooh, yes, Luke.
Merch.
Merch is correct. That is real. That is really real. And now we move on to Subway for number 2, the Subway 16-foot retractable measuring tape. It measures in inches, centimeters, and is marked every 6 inches with either a picture of a 6-inch or a foot-long Subway sandwich.
Cat.
Pie.
Yeah. Oh, Sarah.
Blurch.
Blurch. That is correct. That does not exist. We made that up. Number 3, Taco Bell. A 6-foot-high inflatable fire sauce packet with a Santa hat on as a holiday decoration. It retails at the low price of $200.
Pie.
Yes?
Merch.
Luke? Merch is correct. That is real. P.S. Just as an aside, Taco Bell a few weeks ago. Did I talk about this already, Christian?
I think so, but I like the story.
Okay. Taco Bell a few weeks ago did a like a collab pop-up with a bagel truck called Yeasty Boys, and it was in my neighborhood. And I stood in line, and there was a guy with like kind of an official-looking apron who was sort of working the line, and he recognized me from TV, and so we started talking. And like after we'd been talking for a bit, I was like, "Now, are you one of the Yeasty Boys? Are you with Taco Bell? What's your deal?" And he's like, I'm the head chef of Taco Bell. Oh, there's someone whose whole job it is to like come up with new menu items. Nacho fries, that's him. That's Renee. And they're always looking for collaborations and whatever. And I was immediately like, here's my phone number. Here's all of my information. Right. I need to be your friend. I have
here's my social security number.
Absolutely. Take anything you need. I have been invited to the Taco Bell test kitchen in Irvine, not to brag.
Oh, Dave, that's very excited. Wow.
I'm so excited. That's amazing. I'm so excited. I don't know. I don't feel emotionally prepared for it, and I don't know when I will, but I'm fucking psyched.
That's getting incredible. Into that cool, like, secret club at Disneyland.
Yes.
I don't remember the name of it, but there's like a door and you have to know like 40 people to even be considered. Mm-hmm. I would like to go to the Taco Bell test kitchen as well.
Absolutely. God, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? Yeah. It's like a secret club that will destroy your intestines for 72 hours. But I'm ready.
Well, that's how, okay. You know, it's good.
Yeah, that's the way it works. Do you want it or don't you? I won. Number four, an Arizona beverage company cherry blossom sports bra. It's antibacterial.
Pie.
Cat.
Pie.
Blurch.
Nope, that is real. That is a collaboration between Arizona and Slunks, which I guess is also a brand. Okay. Number five. The KFC fire log, it burns for 2.5 to 3 hours. 2.5 to 3 hours. And it smells like fried chicken.
Cat.
Hi.
Sarah.
Blurch.
No, that is also real. That is also real. It's not available anymore.
Doing to me, KFC.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's difficult to find. I think actually a lot of people would want that smell for 2 days.
Well, a lot of people did, but the Amazon reviews on that are
not didn't positive. Live up to the hype.
Not positive. No, I mean, a house that smells like fake fried chicken, I don't think that's what any of us is looking for. Number six, an e.l.f. Cosmetics collaboration with Chipotle, where the makeup comes in a bag made to look like a burrito wrapped in foil.
But cat.
Hi.
Ooh, Sarah.
Merch.
Merch. Good on you. That is real. That is real.
I don't know who it's for. I've seen this.
But it's real. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Wow. E.l.f. Cosmetics, yeah. They do great stuff. You can get it at Target.
I'll be damned. Number seven, Mountain Dew mold removing gel. In an easy to use bottle shaped tube, you squeeze the gel onto the mold stain and just wipe it away in 2 hours.
Pie.
Luke.
Blurch.
That is totally fake. We made it up. But I do think that, like, you can actually, like, eat through steel with Mountain Dew. So
absolutely.
Just try it with the raw product.
It's an antifungal. Okay.
It is. It's an anti.
A lot of everything. Things.
Yeah.
Yes. It's an anti-life.
It's an anti-organs. Okay. The McDonald's chicken nugget body pillow. It is a 3 foot long pillow, part of a range made in collaboration with Travis Scott. And it looks really impressively like a chicken nugget.
Cat.
Sarah.
Merch.
That is real. It's currently selling for upwards of $150 on resale sites. It's currently going for upwards of $150 on those.
I mean, I've never heard of this, but this is just something that people would buy. I know.
It is. It definitely is. We have a blanket that looks like a big tortilla. We won it in a trivia game. And just the way that like the tortilla marks are on it and the color of them, the pictures were so, I was like, oh, I love this. But the reality is like, it looks like we murdered someone in this blanket and then didn't wash it.
Like, is it really a round like blanket?
It's a big round blanket with.
And have you done like photo shoots of like yourselves, like with it?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I'm
no,
a quesadilla.
Oh no, we've wrapped the dog up in it. Absolutely. Yeah. Many times. But like it really just looks like we stabbed our dog. Okay, at the end of that round, oh my God, what a dog fight we have between Cat and Pie. Sarah and Kat, 7 points. Luke just behind with 5. We're going to take a little break, but we'll be right back with more Troubled Waters after this.
The following pro wrestling contest is scheduled for one fall. Making their way to the ring from the Tights and Fights podcast are the baddest trio of audio, the hair to beware, Danielle Radford.
It really is great hair.
The Brit with a permit to hit, Lindsay Kell.
The queen is dead. Long live the queen.
And the fast-talking, fist-clocking Hal Ublin.
See, I can wrestle and be an announcer.
Get ready for Tights and Fights.
Listen every Saturday or face the pain.
Find us on Maximum Fun. Now ring the bell.
Hello and welcome back to Troubled Waters. I am your host, Dave Holmes. With us are Luke Moniz and Sarah Lane. And our next round is called Gun on Gun. This week marks the release of the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, the last James Gunn Marvel movie before he heads off to run DC Studios, a job he got because he was fired from Marvel to begin with. And I say that with respect. James Gunn is a friend from St. Louis. Our families knew each other long ago. I went to first grade all the way through college with his cousins. The Guns are lovely. And I'm not just saying that because I want them to hire me in some way. Whichever pile of action figures the writer-director is playing with, he is noted for his emphasis on specific song choices in his films. Mm. He is the master of the needle drop. And today, we're going to see just how notable those choices really are. Our writers loaded up the soundtracks for the first two Guardians of the Galaxy movies, as well as the soundtrack to Gunn's first DC film, Suicide Squad. The question is, can you tell which songs were used for which franchise? The game is simple. Play tracks, buzz in with your buzz in words, say Guardians if it was in a Guardians movie, or Squad if it was in the Suicide Squad. You really got to know your superhero movies that don't interest me at all if you want to win this one. And again, I say that with respect. James Gunn, hire me in some capacity. Okay, number one.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easy.
Pat.
Hi. Sarah.
Let's go with Suicide Squad.
Oh, see? You're wrong.
You
would have known it was Guardians, right, Luke?
I did, but I did know, yeah.
Well, he says that now.
Yeah. Oh, it's Guardians 1.
Oh, what? So what was it?
Okay.
What was happening?
Here we go, Luke.
I'm not really sure. I just remember being in the movie theater in 2014 and hearing that song.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Yeah, it was in the first Guardians movie. It was during the climactic dance-off scene. So you were right, but you don't get any points for it because you were too polite. How stupid. All right, number two.
I hear the train a-coming.
Hi.
Mm-hmm, Luke.
Squad.
Suicide Squad. That was Johnny Cash's Folsom Prison Blues. It was used in the Suicide Squad. Okay, number three.
I ain't got nobody.
Cat.
Yes, Sarah?
Suicide Squad.
That's correct.
How about that?
I can see on your face that it was a guess, but you were right.
The song and Suicide Squad, I don't get that. You know, it just kind of made sense.
Sure, sure. That was Just a Gigolo and I Ain't Got Nobody by Louis Prima. And it plays during a violent Harley Quinn action sequence.
Mm.
I can absolutely see
it.
Gives
you some context. And,
yeah.
Why
yeah.
she's oh the way God. She is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy, this one that's coming up with Lady Gaga, we're not ready. We're not ready for how weird things are going to get in our culture once she's had some time on a set playing Harley Quinn. Oh boy. Anyway.
And it's she a
number. What?
I was going to say, I mean, she did once wear a dress made of meat.
She did wear a dress made of meat.
Bit of a come up.
I mean, she's done it all, but I sometimes feel like she's just getting started. Okay, number four.
I was not ready for the role.
Hi.
Cat.
You. Yes, Luke.
It's going to go ahead and be Guardians.
Oh, no, unfortunately, Suicide Squad. That was the Decemberist sucker prayer it plays during the introduction of Idris Elba's character, Bloodsport. I swear
there
to
we
God,
go.
that could all be bullshit, and I would never know. and it feels like it's bullshit, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
All feels like it's bullshit. Like you asked Chat
felt like a
GPT to be like, tell me something that might happen in a Suicide Squad movie.
Exactly. Just Mad Libs. Just Mad Libs.
Yes. Utter Mad Libs. Okay. Number five.
Pi.
Luke.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. He knew it. It was used in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Okay, you're on a roll, Luke. Number six.
Pi.
Oh, Luke.
Suicide Squad.
Incorrect. Guardians. That was Come and Get Your Love by Redbone. It was featured in the very beginning of the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. It's how we meet Chris Pratt.
Of course.
See?
Yes. How could I forget?
That's when you were like, hey, this is a different kind of Marvel movie. Probably. Okay, number seven.
Cat.
Yes, Sarah.
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. Oh, it's almost as though you saw that movie. Did you see that movie?
Maybe. I might have maybe shut my eyes for a couple of minutes because that's what I do in movie theaters because they're so dark and comfy.
They're dark and comfy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Suicide Squad. Those Jim Carroll bands, People Who Died, plays during the opening title sequence of the Suicide Squad.
It doesn't really seem like a Guardians of the Galaxy song.
It doesn't. It doesn't. It's a bit less whimsy.
I had to go with my gut on that one.
Yeah. All right, number eight.
Hi.
Ooh, Luke got in.
I believe.
He doesn't know.
No, I remember. I'm going to say Guardians of the Galaxy.
You are correct. You are correct. That is a perfect encapsulation of the whimsy that can be found in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. I understand. That was ELO's Mr. Blue Sky, and it was played during the opening credits battle in Volume 2. Number 9.
Pi.
Ooh. You know what? This time it was Sarah just by a whisker.
That would be Suicide Squad.
No, unfortunately, it was Guardians of the Galaxy. It was Brandy, You're a Fine Girl by Looking Glass. Not only is it my karaoke go-to, it also plays during the cold open of the second Guardians of the Galaxy and serves as a tie-in to the film's plot, which I guess is about a
waitress be a Harley Quinn thing.
Boyfriend goes off to the sea. Yeah, it feels Harley Quinn-ish, but again, too pleasant to the ear. Okay, finally, number 10.
Cat.
Oh, Sarah.
Guardians.
Incorrect, Squad. That was Point of No Return by Kansas. And it happened during that time in the Suicide Squad where they played Point of No Return by Kansas. Okay. Boy, oh my God. Get this. At the end of that round, it's a tie. Luke's got 8. Sarah's got 8. It's officially anybody's game. It's all going to come down to this final round, which we'll get to right after this break.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back to Troubled Waters. I am your host, Dave Holmes. With us are Luke Moniz and Sarah Lane, and they are tied. Oh my God, if you could only see the looks of concentration on their faces as we stare down our final round. How do you feel? Luke, how do you feel? Give me a word. Just give me a word.
I'm scared.
Sarah?
Confident.
Scared versus confident. Well, okay. What really works as a motivator? Internal belief or an internal feeling of inadequacy? We're about to find out. We're about to find out. Now, this episode drops just a couple days before May the 4th, the annual day every year when Star Wars nerds Fucking remind you that they're Star Wars nerds. Mm-hmm. Yep. This round is called May the Words Be With Us. The of course, May the Fourth name is a pun on the iconic line of May the Force Be With You. It's apropos because it also reminds us that one of our favorite things to do on this show is forcing our guests to sing, to make up songs and to sing them with no preparation, no warning, and no vocal warm-ups. We didn't even have you do any scales before we had you come out here. So this is, you're really in danger in a lot of different ways right now.
Oh my.
Yeah. We can all agree that Star Wars has some of the most recognizable music in film, but it does seem like all these epic John Williams compositions are missing something, and that something is lyrics. So today, y'all, you're going to fix that for us. We're going to play you segments of Star Wars scores, and you're going to provide lyrics for them. And you're going to sing those lyrics. Luke, I'm going to have you go first. And then that means Sarah, you're going to go after.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. So here's the thing. Luke, you will be singing along with this piece of music.
We are now in a bar scene. There are all kinds of different animals who are drinking alcohol, and they're also going to have someone be shot. We don't know who shot the guy first.
What I enjoyed about that is that aliens are animals, huh? Interesting. They're all animals.
Everything all part of the animal kingdom.
The world is an animal.
Yeah. I always thought they were animals.
Well, I mean, Hold on. Okay, listen. I've just been handed an explosive breaking news update. Apparently, the genre of music that is played in the cantina in the Star Wars universe, the genre of music is canonically known as jizz.
Yes.
Jizz.
Mm. J-I-Z. Fantastic.
Jizz.
Do y'all remember when George Lucas re-released Star Wars and changed that song in that scene? And Star Wars people rioted in the streets?
God, of course. That doesn't take much.
Yeah, well, that's just a little piece of trivia for y'all.
Well, there it is. Okay, finally, Sarah, your piece of music is this one.
I am in black. I am very, very angry. And I'm also a murderer. I like to choke people with special powers because I'm a Jedi. And I also am someone's dad.
Oh my God, I loved it. I loved it. It like a musical.
It really felt good to me too.
Yeah, it was like Darth Vader's emotions were so
raw,
strong, so strong that he had to sing. He had to break the reality of Star Wars and just start singing and really speaking from his own personal perspective and experience. And I think he would do, pretty much exactly what you just laid out for him. You set the scene so perfectly. You really wrapped up the entire plot of that movie so tightly. So with such haiku-like precision and clarity. 117 points for you for that one. Let me just tell you something. Yeah, that looks like, it looks like Sarah. Sarah, you've done it. You pulled ahead at the very last minute there.
Oh, congratulations. Wow. Oh my gosh.
The thing about the cats that I already don't remember what it is the most important story in the world for the next couple of weeks. So there you go. Congratulations.
Well, I feel, listen, Luke, you, what a worthy opponent. I felt like it was my pod today. It was my pod.
Well-deserved victory, Sarah.
Honestly, Luke, you did great. You did great. Congratulations to both of you. And really, congratulations, listener. It is now time for plugs. Let us know what you're working on. And then to write the karmic balance in the universe, tell us about something someone else made that you want the whole wide world to know about. Sarah, go on.
Well, speaking of pods, I co-host a daily tech news show called Daily Tech News Show. That's how you can remember it. With Tom Merritt and Roger Chang and a host of illustrious panelists and guests, Monday through Friday. You can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com. I also host another podcast that's a little bit more we're just shooting the breeze with my good friend Heather Frank called Have Such a Good Day, the show that wants you to do just that. One podcast that I absolutely love and I tell people about all the time is called Ear Hustle from Radiotopia. It started out as a podcast about life inside San Quentin prison. And it still is sort of about that, but it's a lot more about people. And if you say, ooh, prison shows, not my bag, give it a shot. Love it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Luke, what you got?
I have a, as you mentioned at the top of the show, my comedy album came out this week called Happening in My Head. It's available everywhere. You can buy the vinyl online if you just Google my name and Happening in My Head, or you can download it or stream it. So that's what I'm plugging away here. And something someone else made, my good friend Brendan Sagalow, who's a comedian in New York City, has a great podcast called Here's the Scenario, where he and two other very funny comics, Mike and Mike, swap crazy hypotheticals and scenarios.
Love it. Thank you so much. I'm Dave Holmes. I host a podcast called Troubled Waters on the Maximum Fun Network. And something I would like to plug, and certainly they don't need it, but my friends Brian Safi and Aaron Gibson have a podcast called Attitudes. It's very funny. If you are a Patreon subscriber, they give you a couple bonus episodes a month, one where Aaron Gibson talks about dolls that she has researched, and one where Brian Safi talks about an episode of Dateline NBC. I mention this now because I don't know if you saw the thing where there's this guy who was a serial sexual assaulter in the United States, and he faked his death and he moved to the UK and pretended to be a British guy named mm-hmm. Arthur Knight, and he pretends
like using a ventilator, oxygen, can't walk.
And he's like, oh, I can't, no, I can't stand, look, I'll try, oh, I fell down. It's so ridiculous. And this the most recent bonus episode of Attitudes is about that episode, and I'm so excited about it that I'm plugging it without having heard it yet. I'm the second we break here, I'm going to hit play on it, but I already know it's going to be fantastic. So check that out and be a subscriber. Help some people out. You know, we just got finished with Max Fun Drive. We're all in the spirit of giving. Let's keep it popping. All right, Luke, Mones, Sarah, Lane, thank you for playing Troubled Waters. You there with the headphones, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. You have been listening to Troubled Waters with me, Dave Holmes, playing where Luke Mones, make a noise.
Hello.
Sarah Lane.
Meow.
Woo! That's a cocky victory cat noise. Our theme music is USA versus White Noise by Ladytron. Thank you to them for letting us use it. The script was written by Riley Silverman and Jean-Luc Roberts, and our producers are Christian Duenas. Wee-wee! And Laura Swisher! Goodbye, everybody.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.